After having been twice driven back by heavy southwestern gales, Her Majesty's ship Beagle, a 10-gun brig, under the command of Captain Fitzroy, sailed from Devonport on the 27th of December, 1831. The object of the expedition was to complete the survey of Patagonia and Tierra del Fuego, commenced under Captain King in 1826 to 1830, to survey the shores of Chile, Peru, and of some islands in the Pacific, and to carry a chain of chronometrical measurements around the world. On the 6th of January, we reached Tenerife, but were prevented landing by fears of our bringing the cholera. The next morning, we saw the sun rise behind the rugged outline of the Grand Canary Islands and suddenly illumined the peak of Tenerife, while the lower parts were veiled in fleecy clouds. This was the first of many delightful days never to be forgotten. Beheld through the hazy atmosphere of this climate is one of great interest, if indeed a person fresh from the sea and who has just walked for the first time in a grove of coconut trees can be a judge of anything but his own happiness. are the elements of the scenery, but it is a hopeless attempt to paint a general effect. Learned naturalists describe these scenes of the tropics by naming a multitude of objects and mentioning some characteristic feature of each. To a learned traveler, this possibly may communicate some definite ideas, but who else, from seeing a plant in a herbarium, can imagine its appearance when growing in its native soil? Who, from seeing a choice plant in a hothouse, can magnify some into the dimensions of forest trees and crowd others into an entangled jungle? Who, when examining in the cabinet of an entomologist the gay exotic butterflies and singular cicadas, will associate these lifeless objects with the ceaseless harsh music of the latter and the lazy flight of the former, the sure accompaniments of the still, glowing noonday of the tropics? It is when the sun has attained its greatest height that such scenes should be viewed. Then the dense, splendid foliage of the mango hides the ground with its darkest shade, while as the upper branches are rendered from profusion of light of the most brilliant green. In the temperate zones, the case is different. The vegetation there is not so dark or so rich, and hence the rays of the declining sun, tinged of red, purple, or bright yellow color, add most to the beauties of this climate. Scene must fade away, yet they will leave, like a tale heard in childhood, a picture full of indistinct but most beautiful figures. As I was walking along, I met two large tortoises, each of which must have weighed at least 200 pounds. One was eating a piece of cactus, and as I approached, it stared at me and slowly stalked away. The other gave a deep hiss and drew in its head. These huge reptiles, surrounded by the black lava, by the leafless shrubs and the large cacti, seemed to my fancy like some antediluvian animals. The few dull-colored birds cared no more for me than they did for the great tortoises. Inhabitants believe that these large animals are absolutely deaf. Certainly, they do not overhear a person walking close behind them. I was always amused when overtaking one of these great monsters as it was quietly pacing along to see how suddenly, the instant I passed, it would draw in its head and legs as if struck dead. I frequently got on their backs, and then, giving a few raps on the hinder part of their shells, they would rise up and walk away. But I found it very difficult to keep my balance. A bad earthquake at once destroys our oldest associations. The earth, the very emblem of solidity, has moved beneath our feet like thin crust over fluid. 1 second of time has created in the mind a strange idea of insecurity, which hours of reflections would not have produced. In the forest, as a breeze moved the trees, I felt only the earth tremble, but saw no other effect. Captain Fitzroy and some officers were at the town during the shock, and there, the scene was more striking. For although the houses, from being built of wood, did not fall, they were violently shaken, and the boards cracked and rattled together. The people rushed out of the doors in the greatest alarm. It is these accompaniments that create that perfect horror of earthquakes, experienced by all who have thus seen, as well as felt, their effect. Within the forest, it was a deeply interesting, but by no means an awe-inspiring phenomenon. Next day, a harbor was discovered, which on this dangerous coast might be of great service to a distressed vessel. It can easily be recognized by a hill 16,000 feet high, which is even more perfectly conical than the famous Sugarloaf at Rio de Janeiro. The next day, after anchoring, I succeeded in reaching the summit of this hill. It was a laborious undertaking, for the sides were so steep that in some parts it was necessary to use the trees as leathers. In these wild countries, it gives much delight to gain the summit of any mountain. There is an indefinite expectation of seeing something very strange. Everyone must know the feeling of triumph and pride which the grand view from the height communicates to the mind. In these little frequented countries, there is also joined to it some vanity that you are, perhaps, the first person who ever stood on this pinnacle or admired this view. Strong desire is always felt to ascertain whether any human being has previously visited an unfrequented spot. A bit of wood with a nail in it is picked up and studied as if it were covered with hieroglyphs. The natural history of these islands is eminently curious and well deserves attention. Most of the organic productions are aboriginal creations found nowhere else. There is even a difference between the inhabitants of these different islands, yet all show a marked relationship with those of America, though separated from that continent by an open space of ocean between 500 to 600 miles in width. The archipelago is a little world within itself, or rather a satellite attached to America. Once it has derived a few stray colonists and has received the general character of its indigenous productions. Considering the small size of these islands, we feel the more astonished at the number of their aboriginal beings and at their confined range. Seeing every height crowned with its crater and the boundaries of most of the lava streams still distinct, we are led to believe that within a period geologically recent, the unbroken ocean was here spread out. Hence, both in space and time, we seem to be brought somewhat near to that great fact, the mystery of mysteries. The first appearance of new beings on this earth.
Thank you.
this wonderful relationship in the same continent between the dead and the living will, I do not doubt, hereafter throw light on the appearance of organic beings on our Earth and their disappearance from it than any other class of facts.